Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Parsha Re'eh. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses Parsha Re'eh. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha is Re'eh. Behold, I set for to you this day, every day, a blessing and a curse. It's before you, it's in your hands. Et bracha asher tishmu al mitzvot Adonai Elohechem, asher enochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. This blessing, if you will listen to the commandments which the Lord God which I have given you today. I commanded you today. And the curse emerges if you don't listen to the commandments of the Lord God. If you turn from the path that I command you this day, and you go after idolatry, which I have, and all these things which I have not known. You've been creative. You create things which even I, as it were, God, have not known about. There's Devarim seems to be suffused in many ways between blessing and curses. And the Rambam has a question about this in his latter part, book 9, I should say chapter 9, of his Laws of Repentance, which is found in his first book, the Book of Knowledge, the Book of Understanding. He has a section, Hilchot Tshuva, the Laws of Repentance. But he has many philosophic aspects there. It's not only a practical, as it were, excursus, but it's very, very philosophical. And he has a question. His question is that he says, we know. He has verses to prove it, and he's established it elsewhere. But we know, and let's take his point, that truly reward and punishment is really not in this world, but in the world to come. Reward is to have arichut yamim, have length of days, and the length of days is really in God's presence, world to come. And the real punishment is karei, to be cut off from God, kind of non-existence. If that's the case, then these blessings and curses that are mentioned here, when they are discussed in terms of their consequence, the consequence says in the Torah, the consequence is an earthly consequence. And it talks about all things about that have to do, and the punishment's also earthly. And therefore, in the Rambam's words, it's the discussion of sovav ra'av, a question of whether we'll be sated, we'll have enough to eat, we'll be satisfied, or will we be starved? Milchama v'shalom, whether there'll be war, whether there'll be peace. Malchut v'shiflut, whether we'll really have an organized government which can take us along our path and ensure our life, or whether or not we will be degraded. V'shivat ha'aretz v'galut. It mentions here in the blessings and curses whether we will merit to live in our own land, or whether we be exiled and alienated. Fatzlachat maaseh v'hefsodo, whether we'll be sad, will be creative, and whether we will be successful in our work, or whether we lose everything that we possess. And all these things are considered part of the covenant. So while in a philosophic sense, a theological sense, Rambam brings verses that seem to say that the true reward and punishment is not in this world, but in the world, but in some transcendent place, world to come, we call it. Here in the verses, it's very much of this earthly type of discussion. His discussion, therefore, is a discussion of where is the reward? Is it in this world, or is it in the world to come? Actually, deeper is the notion of what's the relationship between this reality and the reality that will be, that can come. We put in our efforts, the efforts to find their manifestation where? So the Rambam comes and he says the following. It's sure to us that God has given us a Torah, which is a Torah that is actually a tree of life. Eitz Chaim Hi. And those who do what is written in the Torah, those who do all that's written in the Torah, who know it and embody it and put their mind around it, their emotions, their being, will have the world to come, or will merit the world to come, will merit transcendence. If you live the Torah in its imminence, if you live the Torah in this world, then you will be successful to merit the world to come. And therefore, according to the efforts that we make, according to the person's mental abilities, he or she is able to merit the world to come. And he goes further. Torah promises us, if we'll do this in joy, and we'll do this in tovat nefesh, we do this good willingly. And it's not supposed to be an oppressive religion. I have to put a couple of words in here. I have to, let's see what the Rambam says. She'im na'asel tov b'simcha v'tovat nefesh. If a person does this in joy, in a sense of goodness, a healthy being, v'nehageh b'chachmata tamid. And a person puts their mind around his wisdom, he will also, at the same time, God will allow us to take away, or he will take away from us, all those things that prevent us from doing the Torah and fulfilling the Torah, understanding the Torah. What are those things that prevent us from fulfilling and doing the Torah? Choli u'milchama v'rav, sickness, war, starvation, and conversely, v'yashpil lanu kol tavot machzikot et yodenu lasot haTorah. And he will increase to us all those good things that strengthens our hand and strengthens our ability to do Torah, which means to practice mitzvot and to learn Torah. He will give us sova, to make sure we're satisfied, physically satisfied. V'shalom will give us peace. V'ribui kesef v'zav, give us enough to live on. So they won't spend all our time and effort and making sure we take care of what the body needs. Those things will be fulfilled so that we can go on to other things. But we will sit free to learn wisdom and to do the commandments, so that we will merit the world to come. Something's going on here in the Rambam. What's going on in the Rambam is not kind of just an ideology of life, of saying that the real impact is in the world to come. He's saying something about what we do here in this world. It's a meditation about what we do here. And that the things that preoccupy us are often the things that keep us from thinking about the big picture, that do not allow us to live in a transcendent sense of being. And he says here is that those are things like illness and starvation, being hungry, all these types of things, and being in war-impacted places, all these things stop us from fulfilling us. And that's what he says in the Torah, after he has promised us about good things that can happen to us in this world, a verse that's found a little bit earlier in Devarim, "Stakati alanu ki nishmor la'asot," and it will be considered to us as a stakad. I think better translate here is stakad, as the Targum does, is zechut. It's a merit to be for us that we shall do it, or we shall guard the Torah in order to perform it. The Torah brings us into a different type of life. And the promises regarding the type of life we live here is in order for us to be able to merit a world to come or to live in a transcendent being. She'im v'chein hodiyanu b'Torah. So therefore it's told as if we were told in the Torah. And this is a further part in Devarim, that's in Devarim Lamed Bet, Deuteronomy 32, She'im na'azov haTorah midat, v'na'asok b'havlei hazman, that if we leave the Torah willingly, knowingly, so we think leaving the Torah doesn't mean we become great b'shoim, we become greatly evil people. Rather, v'na'asok b'havlei hazman, we just spend our time in the transient elements of life. Na'asok b'havlei hazman, we immerse ourselves and engage ourselves in those things that are just hevel, just the waste of life, the vanities of time. And the verse that says, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat, that Yishurun, which is a covenantal name of God, Yishurun waxes fat, and he is kicked. So as if he's almost has put a little tag on the back, on his back saying, kick me, let me wax fat, in these havlei zman, and the in just the waste of trivialities, the vanities of the time, and you know, just give me a kick because that's what I deserve. Shadaina met Yasir Kohos Vim Kol Tovoto Lamazeh Shehen Chizku Yedehim. Leave out. The judge of truth, Rambam says, Maimonides says, will remove from the deserters, those who desert God, all the good of this world that has strengthened their hands to rebel. He'll bring upon them all evil that has prevented them from earning the world to come. And that's why we have the verse in the Torah that we say, and it's a strong verse. Tachas asher lo avadat et Hashem, it continues, avadat et oivecha asher yishalchenu Hashem bach. That since you have not served the Lord God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, in other words, you left him for just the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve, you'll serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. So what's this connection between blessings and curses that we're talking about right now? Rambam says, if you'll serve the Lord in joy and observe his way, then all the blessings will be showered upon you, and he will remove the curses from you until you'll be free to study Torah and be busy with it, so be also worthy of the world to come, so as to be worthy of the world to come. Then it may be well with you in a world which is entirely good, that means the world to come, and your days will be prolonged in that world. You will find yourself worthy, Rambam writes, of two worlds, the good life in this world, which leads you to the world to come. Because if one does not gain wisdom here and do good, how can one attain anything? Ah, gain etzein tudava vein dat neged Hashem, for there is no way of fooling God. And indeed, Kohelet says something similar, Kein ma'aseh v'chashbon v'dat b'chachma b'shal, because you're not going to be able to do all these things, all these devices, all these ways of figuring things out in sha'al, in the depths of perdition. In other words, if you can't do it here, you're not going to have any other chance. So therefore, the Rambam writes, if you forsake the Lord, you just follow eating and drinking and immorality and the like, he'll bring upon you all the curses and remove all the blessings. Until you end your days in alarm and terror, you'll have no freedom or peace of body to observe the precepts. You'll be excluded from the life in this, from the world to come, and you've lost, therefore, two worlds. For as long as man is occupied in this world with sickness, war, and famine, he cannot apply himself to wisdom or to the commands which make one worthy of life in the world to come. Rambam seems to be hinting at something very strong, quite profound, that one must find already in this world. I think this is the Rambam's true point. You need to find already in this world the moments of transcendence which are already the world to come. By involving yourself in the moral deed, in the moral act, imbuing your mind with Torah and wisdom, thinking the great thoughts, struggling with the great conflicts of mind, emerging in the end with serenity and harmony of understanding. One is already in, as it were, the world to come. There's a strong connection. It's not just cause and effect. It's cause and effect. If you act in one way, you'll get one result. You act another way, you get a bad result. But it's also identity between the cause and effect. if you act in a way of hevel, of wasting, of vanity, then you will inherit vanity. You're living in vanity, you will inherit vanity. There is no other stage. You've already placed yourself in perdition. If you involve yourself in a type of life of meaning, of the moral act, of the great thoughts, then you're already in that transcendent place of being. And the next step is not just an effect, it's the continuation of the cause that you have already put. And I can prove this from the Rambam, from the very next section of Book 9, in which he talks about the relationship of this world and the world to come in a different way. Because of all this, I think the way we explained it, the prophets and sages of Israel long for the days of the Messiah. Why? So they may be freed from the governments, means the domination of the world, which would not leave them to study the Torah and perform the commandments properly. And that they might have, they long for this world, they might have a quiet place to increase wisdom and become worthy of life in the world to come. For in those messianic days, intelligence and wisdom and truth would increase. The verse says in Isaiah, for the earth shall be full in those days of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. They shall teach, that was from Isaiah, and from Jeremiah it says, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. There'll be a true egalitarian society. And again, from Ezekiel, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. So they long for this type of world. They long for it, for the sovereign who will arise, who they long for arise from the seed of David, will be wiser than Solomon, and the gift of prophecy reaching to that of Moses, our teacher. Thereupon he will teach all the people and instruct them in the path of the Lord. And all the nations, this is not just open to Jews, all the nations will come and listen, as the verse says, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. The final reward and good, which has neither interruption nor diminution, is the world to come. Get that? That's the final reward. That's how it is in its most pure form. This is how it's going to be when things are fully accomplished. V'sof kol sechar kula. This will be the end of all reward. V'atova achrona will be the final good. She'en lehefsek v'geiraon. That has no interruption. That it has no diminution. So what does that mean? It means that in our broken world, as it stands right now, of course there's diminution, there's disruption. But there's also the possibility of imposing upon this world, the world to come, imposing upon this world transcendence. We live in the cause to bring the effect, but we also live in the cause of doing the moral act, of studying the Torah, because by living in that existence, we're already in the world to come. That will already be Chaye HaLam Haba. So what can we possibly accomplish? The world to come is considered by the Rambam as the very final moment. The moment before that, however, will be a messianic era. And what's that messianic era? Is just a greater perfection of the world as we see it right now. Because the Yomot HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah, will be actually Olam HaZeh, this world. And it will be a natural world. People live, people die. El Shemachut Tachzor Yisrael, but governance will return to Israel. And therefore, our early sages already said, Ein Bein Olam HaZeh L'Yomot HaMashiach El Shibud Malchiyot Bovad. There is no real difference between the world of today and the days of Messiah except for the obliteration of oppressive governments. Let me explain this. For the Rambam, it's like there's three time zones, or three possibilities. There is the world that we live in today. There is a time, the Messianic era, and there's a third period, time beyond history, which is the world to come. We live now in history. We live in a finite world, a broken world. We yearn for a messianic era, which is a time at the end of history, in which Israel, people of Israel, can live in their land, in which they will no longer be subjugated, in which the moral acts, and in which the life of Torah and the mind of Torah can be explored in all its greatness. And then there's that final time, which is beyond, not the end of history as a messianic era, but beyond all history, which is the world to come, in which a time of transcendence. Here at the end of the section, Rambam has put this middle section, which is the messianic period. This is a tremendous impact upon us. Jews lived for thousands of years in a diaspora existence, an alienated existence, which nonetheless, during times of prayer and times of the ethical act, certainly on the Sabbath and holidays, they brought the world to come into this broken world as it is, Olam Hazeh. And that was a notion of not just cause to that effect, but of saying that we can actually have it right now, experience it, a notion of identity, before we go to that perfected era. And now we've moved into another section, another time period. For those of us who utter the prayer that return to the land of Israel marks the very least the dawn, or heralds the dawn of our deliverance. And if we take that seriously, that it's Yemota Mashiach's Messianic days, that's not for the Rambam an apocalyptic notion or a notion of some sort of great perfection or of a notion of that's already that we just earned or a notion that we no longer have to struggle. Far from it. We're at the end of history in the sense that we have an independent nation. We have our constraints, but we have an independent nation. We have ability to do many things, perhaps not all things, but many things. And basically what that comes down to is the moral act and the life of Torah and moving away from Havlei HaZman, from the vanities of the world, the things that are temporal, and the things that actually just stand in the way of meaningful life. If we're able to do that, we're able to respond to the moral drive, we're able to make sure that we increase and we develop the Olam Haba within our Olam Hazeh, the transcendence within our immanence, the world to come within this world, then indeed there will be a cause to the effect. There will be this mutual identity in which we'll have a perfected existence. It's at this moment that the challenge is really before us. Re'eh Anochi Noten Lefneichem Hayom Bracha Klala. Behold, today I place Lefneichem before you a blessing and a curse, and we should choose the blessing. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send a comment to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.